Well, I know that today members of the Congress, the Republican side of Congress, pretty happy because this is a banner day for you. You're finally getting to put a piece of legislation on the president's desk you've been hoping to do for a long time.
That's correct. You know, we've had about 50 votes on repealing Obamacare or reducing the scale of it or defunding of it, et cetera. But today, the House is going to vote on a Senate-passed reconciliation bill that guts significant provisions in Obamacare and also defunds Planned Parenthood. Now, this is the right way to do it. You know, there was a lot of chatter all the way back to the government shutdown in 2013 about the best way to do it. This is the best way to do it. And now the president's likely going to veto it, but then he gets to explain for the first time to the American people why he's putting the interest of special interest groups ahead of the damage that this terrible law has caused on the American people and the small businesses and families and so forth. And, you know, it's going to, I can't wait to hear what the president's going to have to how he's going to explain himself on this. But anyway, this is a real vote. This is a real deal that puts the president in a box to explain this. So that's coming up this morning or this afternoon, and we'll report back when the vote's done. I expect a lot of Democrats will cross over and vote for it too.
Now let's talk about this, because every day thousands of Americans are starting to understand what this program is not, and so what they're going to do is they're going to look to you people in Congress to come up with a fixable situation. Okay, that's the framework.
Right.
We know the framework's not going to go away, but what would you say your party's view is to try to build on that framework to make this something that employer who has 57 employees or wants to have more than 50 mm-hmm. employees is suddenly pulling back? And I mention that because we have a story today about Jim Lewis, who has the Village Foods, and one of the things that he mentioned was he had over 50 employees, and there was going to be a tremendous
right.
burden because of Obamacare. So what do you say to those people saying, this is what we're going to do to make this a workable program?
Well, Jim's story is repeated thousands of times across the United States, where he had really pulled the plug on his employees earlier than he wanted to, because of the requirements of Obamacare. And so what I would refer you to is what we put up in the out of the Republican Study Committee last year, the group that I chair, the 170-plus most conservative members of the House. We put out a plan that puts the patient and the provider back together and gets all the bureaucrats and the insurance companies out of the middle of that mix, and then we allow the consumer of health care coverage to buy their insurance across state lines. We allow them to form their own co-ops with other similarly situated people. Let's say a church could do it, for instance, and that could buy across state lines. We go after one of the biggest cost drivers, and that's medical malpractice reform and tort reform. We add those things. And then we do things to allow the private sector to have better competition, and that's what drives the cost down. And so we've already put out our marker on this. Now, we're going to put out a new one this year. 2016 is sort of an aspirational year in terms of legislative activity, because we're going to put out a great budget like we did last year. We're going to have our appropriations bills done earlier this year than we ever had before, and hopefully Harry Reid will stay true to his word and allow the Senate to actually negotiate these things instead of killing them before they get to the floor. And we'll pass our version of tax reform. What does conservative health care reform look like? What is conservative welfare reform? And you can go on and on and on. So the American people get to see the clear difference between what we stand for as conservatives in Congress and what the president's party stands for. And this could be a key factor in the election in 2016, because my thinking is that we're going to put out such a great work product. Again, it'll go nowhere this year except across the House, because we can pass it in a conservative House. But it allows a presidential candidate to say, if you put me in Congress, I'll sign that welfare reform bill, or I'll sign that tax reform bill, or I'll sign that health care reform bill, and so forth. And I think that sets us up pretty well to show if you have the right Congress and the right White House, the great things that can happen for the American people have been hurt the last 8 years.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington. Obviously, the big news yesterday, the president outlining executive action he wants to take having to do with guns and how they're gotten in the United States. So your thoughts there?
Well, let me start by saying, I typically bash on the president. I'm going to give him one small kudo, and then we'll go back to the bashing. But the small kudo is he's raised an issue that we need to talk about, and that's mental health. Mental health is the driver of violence. And whether it's with a gun, a knife, a fist, or a car, or whatever, we've got to address that. The committee I'm on, the Energy and Commerce Committee, has been working on this the last several months, and I think we'll have a mental health care bill up for the House to consider sometime later this year. The first version of it we looked at earlier this year was too expensive, and so we've gone back to try to, earlier last year, was too expensive, and so we're trying to go back and figure out how can we make it more efficient, but still try to find a way to protect people's Second Amendment rights, but at the same time recognize that if somebody needs mental health care, we've got to deal with that.
Now, before we go on, excuse me, for a second now, because the last thing I want is for an inefficient federal government who can't run a Veterans Administration to be overseeing the way mental health should be done. I mean, identifying
exactly
it
right.
And funding it is fine, but how do you implement that?
Well, and see, that's the rub, and that's what we're trying to address. I don't want another federal bureaucracy. I am totally with you, Scott. The American people and the hardworking Texans in District 17 don't want another federal bureaucracy because all they seem to do is fail. And so what we've got to do is figure out how do you do something. And I don't know if it's a private sector-based solution or a state and local, but it's got to be something where you don't have a federal bureaucracy trying to do this. And that's what we're working on. The last thing you're going to see me vote on is building a new federal bureaucracy. So that's where we stand. The first one was more of a light touch, but it was still pretty expensive, and so we're going to continue working that. Now, moving on to the rest of what the president said, Look, I've got to finish reading all that he's trying to propose. But there's two things that I think will help calm us down as Texans about the president trying to take away our Second Amendment rights. Number one is that he is not likely to be successful in implementing this because of bureaucratic inertia. Once you get into the last few months of a president's term, the bureaucrats slow down implementation of any new inertia because they know it's just going to change in a few months. And so I think he's going to have a hard time getting the different federal bureaucracies to move on this. Now, if he somehow assigned it to the EPA, they'd do it because they've just gone nuts. But we've cut their headcount back to 1989 levels. So that's one issue. He's not going to be as successful as he'd like there. The second thing, and this is the most important thing, you know, people have maligned this omnibus vote last month, because of a lot of bad information that's been put out. But one of the things we've been successful in getting into appropriations bills for the last 3 or 4 years are sign-off provisions, where if an agency, particularly bad actor agencies like the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, comes to Congress and said, okay, we need another piece of money for this that's already been appropriated, but they can't spend it until they come and ask for it, then the appropriation committee can say, okay, we'll give it to you, but you can't do this, this, or this. I mean, and that this, or this would be the implementation of the executive order that the president announced yesterday. So we can starve those types of activities for money. And if you remember, and we've already seen this in action, if you remember the BATF that I just talked about, they're on the bad boy list because of their behavior in Fast and Furious from a few years ago. The president proposed a bullet ban for certain popular ammunition types. The BATF came to the appropriators, and actually there's a Texan named John Culberson who's just south of us. And he said, and they asked him for money, and he said, okay, you've got to assert to me that you're not going to implement the bullet ban. And they did that, and so they got their money, and they didn't do the bullet ban. And so we squished right at the outset the president's, an assault on the Second Amendment that he had last year. The same things will happen this year. So it's we've got some other things to do. I think we need to have some legislation on the floor that says, okay, we revoke what you've done. We affirmatively revoke your actions. But again, you got to know the president's going to veto that. I think it'll pass the House and the Senate, but the president will veto it. But I think we've already kind of got this cramped off at the outset.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us in D.C. Finally today, Iran and Saudi Arabia having a problem there because the beheading of the religious leader, now cutting off relations. I see this morning now that apparently Kuwait is going to side with Iran. The lines are being drawn in the Middle East. This is a tremendously dangerous situation. What's the United States need to do right now?
Well, the United States needs to assert leadership. It needs to act like it's not going to abandon the area, which it's largely done under this president. Look, I was just in Saudi Arabia, meeting with Saudi Arabian leaders in November, and they've had a bunch of bad things happen within their borders, from the terrorism outreach activities of the Iranian government. And, you know, whether you approve of what they did or not, they have asserted to us, or at least to those of us in Congress that have met with them, that they are going to defend themselves internally. And if you can't really blame them for that. And so, I think what would be a good idea is if we'd push back on Iran and say, hey, no more ballistic tests, no more shooting missiles in the Straits of Hormuz next to our aircraft carriers. You know, we're not going to have this Iranian deal that the president cut. We're going to impose more sanctions on you because of your bad behavior. That's this type of stuff that I think we need to do, is go after Iran. They're the problem. And I would give a warning to Kuwait that it would be pretty, I think, inappropriate for them to side with the Iranians. Look, those folks need the United States, if you look at their set of zip codes. And I think that they'd make a bad mistake. And I haven't met with any Kuwaiti leaders in the last 3 or 4 years, but if I wind up going over there this year, I'll certainly carry that message that you know, you need to be careful who your friends are.
Yeah, well, this is how wars get started. This is, I think, a awfully scary situation. Congressman Bill Flores joins us every Wednesday. You can hear our entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. Going to be a busy start to the new session. We'll look forward to kind of doing an overview of that next week.
Well, I enjoyed our conversation today, Scott. I thought it was pretty meaningful. Also, I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right. Thanks for the time.